The gospel talks about the vast crowd. I think this is the most vast crowd that I've seen here at the Newman since I've been here. So it's beautiful to see all of your faces. One of the great principles of Catholicism is that we don't look at things with an either-or mentality, but with a both-and one. Materialists argue that the world is only physical, material. Platonists or some of the Eastern religions, like Buddhism, for example, argue that the material world, or at least the perception of it, is an illusion. Only the spiritual matters. And the church says, yes, the world is both physical and spiritual. And Isaiah, in that first reading today, pushes this point, although the current translation obscures it just a little bit. In that first reading, God says, "Heed me, and you shall eat well." It could be translated, "and you shall eat goodness." Then God says, "You shall delight in rich fare." And it should be translated, "Your soul shall delight in rich fare." Eating is very physical, materialist thing to do. But here God says, "Eat goodness." Rich fare definitely refers to actual food. But here God says, "Your soul shall delight in actual food." The physical is eating the spiritual. The physical is eating the spiritual, and the spiritual is delighting in the physical. That's about as both and as it gets. And Isaiah was prophesying to the kingdom of Judah almost 200 years before the Babylonian conquest and exile. And he spent a good chunk of his book here describing how bad the destruction and that exile will be because of their sinfulness. And then all of a sudden, he starts talking about a suffering servant Messiah who will take the people's sinfulness and suffering upon himself and bring about redemption. And then in today's reading, he writes about what we have to do in order to participate in that redemption. At the end of today's reading, God says that he will renew the everlasting covenant that had been made to David, but that had been broken. But then he says, we can't buy or pay our way into that covenant. That's a very materialist, capitalist thing to do. We join into this covenant by heeding God, and then by eating goodness, by listening to God, and then by letting our soul delight in the richest of foods. How good are you at listening to another human being, let alone listening to God? This suffering servant Messiah, whom we call Jesus Christ, effected a new and eternal covenant with the human race. And we can't buy our way into it. But we can listen and obey our way into it. And I just wonder what it might mean for us then to eat goodness. In the gospel, there are a lot of physical things going on. John the Baptist just had his head cut off. And Jesus is disturbed by that news, and he withdraws to a deserted place to pray and regroup. And when he gets there, though, there's this vast crowd. And moved with pity, he cures their sick. Also a very physical thing to do. But Jesus, like the church, is neither either or. It's not just that the Baptist lost his head, it's that by his martyrdom he's born anew. It's not just that people are sick physically. Jesus wants to heal so much more. And so when the disciples very practically realize that they're in a deserted place with very little food, they then very unwisely think that the best decision is to send these hungry people away from the bread of life. Let me just say right here, the right answer is never to send someone away from Jesus. And so Jesus tells them, don't send them away. I'll feed them myself. And what follows is a beautiful preview of the Last Supper. First, it happens in the evening, just as the Last Supper did. He orders the crowd to recline on the grass, just as he and the apostles reclined at the table at the Last Supper. He takes, blesses, breaks, and gives those very four verbs, the loaves of bread, just as he took, blessed, broke, and gave at the Last Supper. And he gives the loaves to the disciples, just as he did at the Last Supper. And here the disciples, in turn, give the loaves to the crowd. They become Jesus, taking Jesus to others. And isn't that what we're supposed to do? Become what we eat and take Jesus to others? And this is real eating. There's real bread here. Even if it's just a little bit, like that little bit of loaves and fishes. But this eating is the eating of goodness. By eating this bread, they receive spiritual healing. Earlier, Jesus healed their bodies. Now he heals their souls. Isaiah had prophesied, "Listen that you may have life," which is better translated, "Listen that your soul may have life." We Christians are this beautiful mixture of body and soul, physical and spiritual. And the Eucharist is our meal, a physical meal of spiritual goodness. Physical nourishment for spiritual healing. As Catholic Christians, we walk this world a little differently from others. We don't spiritualize everything, but nor do we reduce everything to physical processes only. In his letter to the Romans today, St. Paul masterfully reminds us that neither physical powers, such as persecution, famine, the sword, nor spiritual powers, such as angels and principalities, can separate us from the love of Christ. In the physical world, there's good and bad, right? We experience that. And in the spiritual world, there's good and bad, and we can experience that too. And we must discern them all. We must listen for God's voice throughout our days and nights, and then heed that voice. We don't want to eat badness. We want to eat goodness. So the homework that I give out for this week is, as you this week walk the world, pay attention, first of all, to the physical world around you. Notice things. And then ask for the grace not to overlook the spiritual realities in our physical world. Let the voice of your conscience speak to you and listen to it.